I thought I'd start by talking a little bit about pangolins. Of course. I don't suppose many of you thought that when you were coming to church today, I was going to start my sermon by talking about pangolins. So come as a bit of a surprise. In fact, some of you may not know what a pangolin is. So I'm not going to embarrass you by asking. But those of you of a certain age will remember that Rod Stewart had a very popular song called Pangolin Wind. No, that was Mandolin Wind, wasn't it? What's the difference between a mandolin and a pangolin? You're going to find out. Pangolins are mammals whose skin is covered in scales made of keratin. That's the same substance that makes your fingernails and your hair. And they are insectivorous, which means they eat insects. And you probably didn't know this, they are the most trafficked animal in the world because they're sought after, particularly for traditional Chinese medicinal uses. If you go to Africa and you're offered bushmeat, they are one of the most common animals used for bushmeat, which means that the 12 different species of pangolin, some of them are threatened and some species, in fact, endangered. Now, it may seem unusual to introduce the topic which this morning is Confident Disciples by talking about pangolins. But in our working group for developing our new vision statement to take us forward to the year 2020, we discussed what discipleship meant and what we understood a disciple to be and realised that we all had rather different ideas of what it is. So rather than assume that if I start talking about disciples and discipleship this morning that we all know what I mean by that and all understand the same thing, I want to start by exploring what we might understand by the term disciple and how it relates to our vision statement. But first, let's take a quick overview of our 2020 vision. And you should have been handed one of these when you came in this morning. I put some spectacles at the top of this sheet because I thought this morning I might make a spectacle of myself. Oh. They don't get any better. Now, our previous vision was drawn up in 2011, and it ran through to 2016. We summarised it as deeper, higher, wider. We printed it on our weekly news sheets. So obviously you all know what it is, and I'm going to pick someone at random to stand up and tell us. No, I'm not really. But we were challenged as a PCC after our APCM when I talked about coming to the end of our period of having that vision. These questions, had it encouraged us to make progress in the particular areas that it addressed? What had we done differently? What had we introduced into the life of our church community that provided some evidence of progressing towards the goals that that statement drew for us? How did we know if it had made any difference? Well, I could point to the Alpha courses, the 24/7 prayer course, the introduction of our monthly prayer meeting Lift. All of those are part of our vision and putting our vision into actuality. But as a PCC, we thought it would be good if we had a clearer aim for our 2020 vision, to put in place targets that we can measure our progress in the various areas of our vision. So there's a small group working on this in the next couple of months, producing some recommendations for the PCC to consider. So this is what and our vision looks like, and we're going to be underpinning it with achievable goals that we'll put in place. And it starts by saying that our vision is, at St. James, to be a growing people of all ages that are rooted in prayer, growing in our faith in Jesus Christ. And Jane is going to be speaking about that next week. But I'm tackling number two, growing as confident disciples, are willing and able to make disciples of others. They're printed on this sheet. You can take away. We'll get more available so that if you lose them, you can have others. You can sellotape them to your fridge if you like, or you can put them in the small room where you go for contemplation several times a day, anywhere where you'll be reminded of them and think about them. So this week, what is a disciple, and particularly a confident one? What does it mean to be willing and able to make disciples of others? I'm grateful to Judith, who did a bit of homework on this for us. She wrote a briefing paper for us. A disciple is a follower, one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another, so the other also can spread the doctrine. And we see this meaning in our reading from Matthew. Jesus was with the remaining 11 disciples, quite a small group, and he commissions them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything he commanded them. So a disciple of Jesus is one who shares Jesus' teachings with others and helps them to have faith, enabling them to be disciples and in turn to be able to disciple others. If a Christian is someone who's put their faith in Jesus as their Lord, then this is perhaps the defining characteristic of an evangelical Christian, the sense of wanting to pass on this good news to others that they too may come to faith. So perhaps the distinction is whether a disciple is a follower, in this case someone following Jesus, putting their trust in him and following his commands, or being both a follower and a maker of new disciples. So I'm going to focus particularly this morning on that sense of being a disciple in the sense of a follower. Those of us who've put our trust in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, how do we grow as confident disciples? Well, first we need to believe that God loves us and is on our side. I think many of us struggle with this, so I'm going to say it again. God loves us and is on our side. He is for us. What can happen is that we pray for something, we don't get an answer, we don't get the answer we pray for, or something goes wrong, and we tend to jump to the conclusion, the wrong conclusion, that somehow God is displeased with us. Many of us, deep down, have a sense that we're unworthy of God's love. And because we're sinful, he needs to punish us. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen and young people, is wrong theology. But it causes many of us to live under a cloud. A very brief example. I went with Pam to London on Friday, and we went to the Victoria and Albert Museum. It was Pam's choice. We looked at costumes and various things. But it was very interesting too. We did some good things. But actually, on the way back, we got off the tube at Waterloo Station, and suddenly I tripped up. I didn't understand how I could have tripped up. And then I realised that a very large gentleman behind me had deliberately tripped me up. And he then went on to hug somebody else and apologised to them, saying, you know, I'm sorry, I thought you were a friend of mine. And then he went up to someone else and started asking them for sugar. I mean, I felt unsettled. You know, I was glad I hadn't hit the deck. I was glad that he didn't have a knife. But I could have wrongly started to think that maybe I deserved to be picked on by this guy that I think was not quite right in the head. And that would have been a wrong conclusion. I was just the wrong person in the wrong place at the wrong time. But it unsettled me for the next half an hour or so. Listen to John 10, verse 10. Jesus said this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." If you doubt God's love for you, if you're feeling weighed down by a sense of being unworthy, I would ask you if it sounds like you're living life to the full. Because that's what Jesus came to bring. So if you're living in any place lower than life to the full, you've not got yourself wrapped around this idea that God loves you, he's for you, and wants the best for you. You're listening to your feelings rather than Jesus' words. Jesus came to bring you life, life in all its fullness, an abundance of God-forgiven, Spirit-empowered life as a son or daughter, an heir of the Almighty God. And if you think less of yourself than that, it's the voice of the thief that you're listening to, not God's voice. Now, if we know that we're loved and God is for us, we can try more and achieve more for his kingdom. We'll stretch ourselves because we won't be worrying that if we get something wrong, God will be displeased with us, because we know that God loves us and he'll be pleased with us for trying. Those of you who've been parents at a children's sports day, did you love your children less if they didn't win the race they were in? Of course not. You just loved that they were in the race. We've got to step out. We've got to be bold. We've got to exercise our faith. Faith is like a muscle. If you exercise it, it gets stronger. Second, we need to spend time with God. Okay, I can hear you ask the question now. What does that mean? What does it look like to spend time with God? Well, I'll start by saying that we're spending time with God all the time. But particularly we will feel perhaps that it's time with God if we're spending time reading the Bible. When we're talking to God, we can call that theologically prayer, if you like. But it doesn't have to be wrapped up in certain words. We can natter to God as we walk along the pavement, when we're sitting in the car or the coffee shop, or at work, in between the bits of work that we're doing. All of that is talking to God, and also listening to God as well, because God does speak to us. One of the good things about reading the Bible is it tunes us in to the sort of things that God says, like John 10:10. Jesus came that we might have life. So if a little voice in you is saying, "I want you to live well today," that's the sort of thing God says. So when you hear that little nudge in your spirit, that's God speaking to you. We try and do this talking to God and listening to God at our monthly prayer meeting, Lift. That's how we try and practice those things. So I would say all time is time spent with God, but some of it is perhaps more focused than at others. God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So he's there 24/7. That's what it means, never leave nor forsake. But we grow to be more in tune with him by reading the Bible, listening to Christian music, listening to Christian radio stations perhaps, or listening to sermons again online, reading Christian books. all of those sorts of things will nourish and nurture our Christian faith. Third, we need to spend time in the company of other Christians. That's got a fancy theological word too, fellowship. But it just means meeting together with others, like we are here on a Sunday morning. But also we need it in small groups, and I think small groups are really important because it's in small groups often that we can talk about our Christian journey, what we're finding difficult. We can explore and exercise our Christian spiritual gifts. We can grow in using them. We can be challenged by other people. We can pray for others and be a blessing to them. Should that exclude spending time with other people who aren't Christians? No. We need to do that as well, of course. But often that will be nurtured and enhanced by having spent time in our small groups. We might be more salty Christians, better able to bring salt into our environment. We might shine more brightly, being light in a dark world. We may find from our small group we've got the boldness to engage with other work colleagues, friends and family, carrying our faith with us. And fourth, we can turn our faith into action and get involved with things that are important to us. That might mean helping with our cafe, or with our elderly people, or with our toddler group, or at the local food bank, or a soup kitchen feeding those sleeping on the path, or get involved with street pastors or rail pastors. Yeah, street pastors were invited to help British Rail by putting rail pastors onto the trains between here and Paddington. And we all know that line and those stations are places where there are sometimes people feeling very, very low. That's partly what rail pastors are there to work with. Through those things, working in the world, as it were, working with other people, we grow as confident disciples. But you've got to be intentional if you want to grow as a disciple. I had this at Christmas. It's brilliant. I want to wear this inside out, to be honest. But the inside is bright yellow, but there's some bright yellow bits as well. It is a thermal running top. So when it's minus whatever, I can go running in this and I'm toasty warm. In fact, I have to open the zip a bit because I get too hot. But you know, when this arrived in its packaging, it looked really smart. And if I wanted to, I could have kept it in the packaging, admiring how smart it looked. But if I didn't open it up and put it on and go running, there'd be absolutely no benefit to having it. So I challenge you that if you're thinking, right, beginning of the year, I'm going to buy myself a new Bible with study notes in it, or I'm going to go to the Christian bookshop and I'm going to buy one of those things that takes me through something every day of the year. I've started a book by Simon Gillibert, which has got something for every day of the year. But you know, if it just sits on a shelf, it'll do you no good at all. We've got to be intentional. We've got to say, right, I'm going to do this and do it. They say it takes 3 weeks to form a habit. 3 weeks. It's not that long, is it, really? 3 weeks. You know, if you want to give up sugar, you know, it's not going to be a trial for the rest of the year, because 3 weeks you should have got used to the taste of tea and coffee without sugar. All right, I think I've touched a chord for someone. So let's move swiftly on. How are you going to grow as a disciple this year? What are you going to do differently? I think you need to think about it. I think you need to pray about it. It may be that something I've said this morning actually rang a bell with you, that I've mentioned something that sat sat with you so instantly that you know that that's probably the area that you need to do something about. It may be that you're going to have to spend a little bit of time on it. You could listen to this sermon again online. But once you've decided what it is, my challenge for you is this. Tell someone what you're going to do. Could be your spouse, Christian friend, member of the family, a house group leader, someone at church, could be me. And encourage them to ask you how it's going. Be willing to talk to them about it. Say, you can ask me about this. You can ask me how I'm doing with my Simon Gillibo book. That's absolutely fine, Katya. Absolutely fine. No, no, no. Sophia is getting stuck in. That's brilliant. That's what we all need to do to my sermon, isn't it? Get stuck in. So challenge yourself. Tell someone and say, ask me how it's going. Put me on the spot, because that's how we're going to progress. I've not said much about being willing and able to make disciples of others, but if we're willing and making this step to grow in 2017 to be more confident disciples, I think the other things will follow. We're going to need to be more intentional about it, but it will follow. We've got an opportunity coming up in a couple of weeks' time, on the Friday evening over at the gate in Tilehurst. There's an opportunity to do some soaking, and we're going to be in the presence of worship and God. And then on the Saturday morning, Saturday the 21st, we're meeting here at 10 o'clock in the morning for some evangelism training and a bit of worship for about an hour. And then we're going to go out into the precinct and tell people how God loves them. Scary stuff. But if you want to be nudged out of your comfort zone, and I know there'll be some of us that will want to do that, we're going to do that. And there'll be other people coming to support us in that. But we'll just have an opportunity to tell people in Woodley Precinct that God loves them, invite them to pray a prayer, invite them to give us their name and address, and we'll follow them up and get them on an alpha course or something like that. So if that sounds totally bonkers and you're up for it, Friday the 20th in the evening, then Saturday the 21st here, 10 o'clock in the morning, and then 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll be here for about an hour, and then we'll go to the precinct. Folks, so, are you up for going on this journey of growing as a confident disciple in 2017? I hope that you are. It'll be amazing where we can get to. Amen.